Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Ghost Bed. Find the perfect mattress right now for you at ghostbed.com/ghost.
Today on a mysterious episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, when police officers respond to multiple reports of a vehicle swerving off the road and crashing into a nearby ditch, they find themselves entangled in a mystery that had no logical explanation. As officers make a grisly discovery of a decomposing body wrapped in the vehicle, sounds like an open and shut case. The only problem, this vehicle crashed nearly a year ago, leaving the family of the victim unaware of what happened. How did multiple people report an accident that took place in the past? That's the unsolved mystery we learn about today on another unforgettable episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Welcome to the program. If you like the show, press subscribe wherever you download podcasts or follow us or whatever the button is this week. And if you want to get access to the archive of episodes, we have the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories from all the years of doing the show. If you want access to all of that, we put out weekly bonus episodes, and there's almost 400 of those now. New ones every single week. All the episodes commercial free. My ebook, audiobook, you get all that. And it's only $5 a month. Ghostpodcast.com is where you sign up for that, or patreon.com/realghoststories. Two different platforms, whatever you prefer. One's through our website, one's through Patreon. You get the same stuff both places. And start binging away. It's just endless, endless ghost stories with no ads. So do check that out. Patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
As you get older in life, yeah, things start changing. And I'm sitting here waiting to do the podcast with you.
Uh-huh.
And my studio is in the basement of my house.
Yeah.
So in Wisconsin, it's cold in the basement during the winter. I run a space heater during the summer. I run a fan. Okay. I need a fan because for some reason I'm going through like a hot flash right now. And I'm trying to determine if it's the change of life or something else going on with me.
Well, whatever it may be, we're all good.
Well, we were just talking about, you know, like the way the world is right now and all that kind of stuff. And at this point, it's been such a strange, like 4 or 5 years altogether when you consider what's gone on.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I'd be all that surprised if the doctor said, I don't know what to tell you, but you're going through the change of life.
Yeah. It's interesting. As we get older, I've been finding, but I don't think this is change of life. I think this is just, me putting on more weight than I should have on my body, where I will constantly have the air running in my car, like in winter. Now, I'm not in Wisconsin, so maybe that makes it different, but there's days where it's bitterly cold out, but I get in there and like I have the heat on initially, then I'm like, I'm too hot. But cars are like little pods now. You really can run it differently than it used to be, where you had to like constantly maintain this heat thing. Otherwise, because like, you know, at 3 inches over here, it's freezing cold by the windows. Now it really is. It's a little capsule into itself. So I don't know if I'm crazy for doing that, but I do. I run the air all winter. Initially heat, and then it's air. Even if it's like 14, 15 degrees outside.
Crazy Grandpa Tony. That's what they're going to call you, your grandkids.
It's like, I like being cool, you know, and I guess, and I wear my sunglasses and I feel really cool. And I, you know, and I pull up to the gas station and I want to get, and I have the windows down and I'm playing Dr. Dre and I just want, I'm like, dun, 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 dun. And then it's like, yeah, he's wearing short sleeves in winter.
And you hope Kathy Ireland is over by the Pepsi machine to get the Pepsi out.
Exactly. And it turns out it's just Beatrice who runs the gas station. And surprisingly, Beatrice is about 104 now, but has the body of a 98-year-old. So you're kind of like, okay, yeah, enjoy that Pepsi, Beatrice. Oh, let's help you up. Don't step there. You're going to trip. So it's a little different, but you know,
And all the while she's having a cigarette. So.
Oh yeah, a cup, and it has an oxygen tank right next to her.
That's right.
She's going back in to play the slots as well. So yeah, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first story. It says, "I'm a relative newcomer to your podcast, having stumbled across them at the beginning of October of 2021. Thanks, Google, and do enjoy listening to a paranormal stories. You and your guests and your callers relate. I appreciate the majority of your submitted stories are from the U.S., but on hearing you mention you recently have listeners in the U.K. and have discussed with Harper the possibility of visiting the U.K. I'd like to primarily share this story with you and your USA-based listeners. Right from the start, I'll say that I'm a police detective. And I suppose you could say I have a natural skepticism for stories that are told to me. Putting it simply, I like to have proof that what I see and hear are actually true. The story provides just enough proof to suggest there may be other forces that we do not fully understand out there. Additionally, this story is not one that is a personal experience. I was working for Surrey Police when it occurred, but this was not an incident that I actively participated in dealing with, one that is recorded on official police and public record. It also very quickly became a bit of an urban legend within the police and my immediate colleagues. So at approximately 7 p.m. one evening in early December of 02, members of the public called Surrey Police using 911, reporting that they had seen a set of car headlights swerve off A3, a road or highway, and then disappear into the trees, vegetation, and undergrowth not far from the town of Burfam, Surrey, in southeast England. Officers were dispatched to the described location, and when they arrived, they were initially unable to identify any scene that would indicate a car having swerved off the road. However, the officers then exited their own vehicle to search the area on foot, and it was not until they ventured deep into the undergrowth that they found a badly damaged, unoccupied saloon car. The car was deeply embedded within the undergrowth, down an embankment, making it very difficult to see from the road, and there were no tire tracks leading from the road down the embankment. The officers reported that the car's battery was also flat, making it impossible to activate the headlights. Working on the basis of the reports from members of the public that they had seen this car swerve off the road, the police officers extended the search area from the car to try and identify the car's driver and occupants. They were nearby, possibly injured, needing medical attention. What they found was somewhat surprising. A short distance from the car, also within undergrowth, they found the decomposing skeletal body of a man. Inquiries were made on the registered owner of the damaged car, and it was established that it belonged to a London man who had been reported as a missing person to the Metropolitan Police in the middle of July of 2002, nearly a year earlier. Using dental records, the police and the coroner subsequently confirmed that the body found near to the damaged car was that of the registered owner, whom had been missing since July of 02. Pathology examination also estimated the date, time, and death as being 4 to 5 months previously. It was possibly due to injuries consistent with those that could be sustained in a car crash. Officially, Surrey Police stated that the vehicle was found due to officers looking for a different reported crash, but as I think you will agree, with no other evidence of a crash having occurred, and different members of the public reported seeing the vehicle headlights swerve off the road at almost the exact location where the car and body were found, should we be asking, did the members of the public see a spooky replay? If you decide to relay this story on air, hope it can stir some lively debate. I have a number of personal experiences that I may share in the future, but I thought this would be a great one to wet your whistle due to the official records that exist about the event. Best wishes for future pods, your neighbor, Cooper." How interesting that you would get a replay of the activity. And that's what I think makes it so spooky, is multiple people reported this. It wasn't just one person, you know, seeing something, but I wonder if they all saw it at different times as well. Like, did it show to different people at different moments?
Right. And I think whenever you have a tragic situation like that, we talk about energy and stuff like that on this podcast a lot. Yeah. And obviously a tragic car crash that nobody knew about, really, and they couldn't find this person and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there was some trauma there. There was some pretty negative stuff that went on in that situation. And so you kind of wonder, you know, how that all played out. Like you said, did these people see it all at the same time? Were they seeing it at different times? And this thing just kept replaying itself over and over and over.
Yeah.
Just kind of basically saying, hey, I'm over here. Something happened here months ago. Somebody find me. So really interesting. And going to the UK, like, I want to go so bad.
Mm-hmm.
I work for a couple of stations over there and I really enjoy working over there. But I just think that when it comes to paranormal, it's got to be off the charts in the UK.
I agree. And it's a different attitude, too. It's almost just, it's like how we handle it on the show. Like, we're starting at the baseline of this exists. Whereas in the US, I think a lot of people start at the baseline of prove it.
Right.
And then once you can prove it, then we can talk more. But they're already like past that, you know, barrier. So you're starting at a little bit ahead of the game where there's less debate. It's just, yeah, this stuff happens. And it's everywhere. And it's, you know, because I think because of the history and things of that nature would be my guess.
I think I read a report that said one of the most haunted types of locations in the UK, pubs and restaurants, because yeah. They've been there for a very, very long time. People who own those types of businesses put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into them. So there's a lot of energy given to it.
Yeah.
And all different kinds of people come in and out of there. People who have great things going on in their life, people who go in there with sorrow and sadness and all that kind of stuff. I can't wait till I get a chance to go over there. That's like the one spot I've got to go to in my life.
That would be so fun. It really would be interesting to go over there at some point. I mean, and the thing is, what would be really kind of cool is we could go over there. I'd go with you. We could do a live show over there.
Love it.
That would be so cool. Because there's so many.
And then we'll pick a couple locations and go and investigate with listeners.
It would be so fun. We have such an audience over there. It would be really, that I think would be the most mind-blowing. You know, because we've done live broadcasts and that sort of stuff throughout our life for radio. It's like, you know, car dealership here and this and that. But when you go out and you do like this sort of thing live, I was blown away when I did it in Eureka Springs. It was just a totally different experience. But to do it in a different country, I think would just be like, oh, you exist.
<You know? laughs> Like, right.
This isn't all in my head. But yeah, it would be so neat to go over there at some point. And Australia is another place that we have a huge audience base that would be interesting to visit. I've always wanted to go there, too.
See, I Australia seems like a nice place, but they have deadly spiders, and I just don't need to. I don't need to see those things.
This takes some bring a lot of Benadryl, and you'll be fine. You know, Benadryl and Tussin, and you will be
there. You go.
You'll be good to go. Back to the conversation in just a second. First, I want to thank our supporter today, Ghost Bed. We all know how important sleep is to our overall health and wellness. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Ghost Bed. Absolutely love their products. And I can't wait to tell you more about the beds that they offer. It's so good. And their products, too. I have one of their pillows. I absolutely love it. Girlfriend has one, too. Absolutely loves it. Ghost Bed is made by Nature Sleep, which is an industry leader in the mattress space since 2001. Every Ghost Bed product, from their mattresses to their sheets and pillows, designed with cooling features, so it's perfect if you sleep warm, which I do, which most people do too. They've even got a mattress dubbed the coolest bed in the world. Shipping is free and fast, and you can try out your mattress for 101 nights, and you even get an industry-leading warranty up to 25 years. How amazing is that? If you're looking for a great bed, you're going to love this. 101 nights at-home sleep trial, like I just said, plus free shipping. Most orders ship out within 24 hours. Great options for you on financing. Zero down, 0% APR financing. Easy financing on mattresses starting at $35 a month. So yes, you can buy a mattress for like $35 a month. They got a flash sale going on right now. You don't want to miss flash sales. You know, they are just that, flash. 40% off mattresses and adjustable base bundles. Also, 30% off mattresses plus two free pillows. So some options there for you. Ghostbed also offers bundles so you can get everything you need for a full bedroom upgrade. Choose any of their mattresses and pair with their award-winning adjustable base with 15 massage modes, cooling pillows, and more. You're going to love it. Find your perfect mattress. Check out ghostbed.com/ghost. Right now, Ghostbed is offering our listeners 40% off Ghostbed bundles, where you get a mattress and adjustable base. Or 30% off site-wide. That is 30% off all mattresses plus two luxury pillows. Use promo code GHOST at ghostbed.com/ghost. Hurry, take advantage of these savings. That's ghostbed.com/ghost. And use promo code GHOST. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Our next story says, this is not so much a ghost story, but an NDE. It was a neat experience, so I felt I had to share it with you guys. It was 05. I was a 20-year-old second-year law student and was very active and athletic as a result of practicing in off-road motorcycle racing, cycling, and jogging. Well, I had a knack to get myself out of almost every sticky situation I got myself into. I also saw my fair share of crashes. Miraculously, I never had any serious injuries. I even walked away from a wipeout on my Honda CR at 130 kilometers an hour. One weekend, I and a buddy went out for a weekend of dirt biking and hunting on his parents' farm. Unbeknownst to me, my perception of not only my own mortality, but also life was about to be challenged. It was a beautiful, sunny South African summer morning. We were a bit hungover from hanging out the previous night, so we decided to go for a ride on their mountain bikes in an effort to feel better. Had a good breakfast, took enough water, and got on our way. They have a most beautiful farm with a farmstead and outbuildings predating the Anglo-Boer War. It truly looked as if time had stood still, and his parents made an effort to keep the historical character of the place. With this in our mind, our plan was to visit the Anglo-Boer War sites on the farm while fooling around on the bikes between stops. All went well until we got to some deep erosion ditches. I guess still being a bit under the influence made it seem like a good idea to do some jumps, even though the ground inside of them were very loose and sandy. We saw a drop of about 2 meters, which seemed like a good idea for a jump, and I decided to go first. I started pedaling and built up some good momentum, but just as I was about to reach the tip of the ledge, I hit a sandy spot which broke my speed substantially, and just as I was about to pull the front wheel up from the ground, the tip of the ledge gave way. I still remember seeing the ground come closer and rotating as I and the bike were flipping forwards. Then a crunching sound I could actually feel inside my head before everything turned black. The instant everything turned black, it was like a switch was flipped. I got a sensation that I was traveling at a high rate of speed through a tunnel of what seemed like a black static rotating around me. I actually got the weirdest, most indescribable, serene feeling coming over me. After what felt like an eternity, a bright white light suddenly appeared and I saw an older man standing inside of it, although I did not recognize him. He seemed fairly familiar, like a parent, and I felt like I had the decision to stay with him or go back to my body. I was very tempted to stay due to the serenity I felt when he telepathically told me that I can't stay. I'm not supposed to be there yet. The next moment I felt as if I were being sucked back into my body. For a moment, I could see myself from above, my body lying on my back, one big bush to my left and two smaller ones to the right, with a bicycle between them. I saw and still remember every little detail. Suddenly, I physically opened my eyes and became aware of somebody screaming. I got so annoyed and wanted to yell to my friend to shut the F up when I realized it was me who was screaming. To cut a long story short, I broke 3 vertebrae and got severe concussions, but miraculously, I made a full recovery. What actually stood out to me was that at the time I was a Christian, but unlike most Christians who would see this as proof of heaven, I instinctively knew that this had nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever. Felt like I had been there before, like it was another plane of existence. Remember the message being relayed to me. Or me just remembering that religion does not matter as long as one lives an ethical and morally good life. That's what society and the media relay is morally correct and ethical. Not to be always correct, but that I would subconsciously know right from wrong. I've also learned that what the media and even many Christians believe to be a successful life actually detract from what makes us good human beings. I also learned that being spiritually and socially spoon-fed and indoctrinated actually destroys our spiritual part, which have to be developed independently. There's some other little wisdom I feel I brought back has now become my life's philosophy. I know this account of mine sounds very much like the stereotypical NDE, but to me, it was as real as daylight. I had no prior interest in NDEs and neither had any exposure as far as I can remember. I've also been unconscious before and since and have never experienced the same thing. Some scholars might say that it was a neurological misfire of the brain as a result of injury, but the event seemed much too spiritual and real to me to not have any significance in my life. Quite an interesting experience that they had. What's your thoughts on all that?
Well, I can't imagine somebody went through that and actually lived to tell the story. It sounds like it was very traumatic.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I think we do, you know, science is great. Because what we know of science, we can prove. But the problem is science always changes. There's always new things we learn. Things that we thought were one way become something else down the road. I always point to the planet Pluto because at one point it was a planet, then it wasn't a planet. Now we're not quite sure. Mm-hmm. It changes. And so while science is something you can prove, when we try to use science to disprove an experience like this, I always go, well, just kind of hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Maybe we don't know as much as we think we know. And what this person experienced was actually a near-death experience.
Yeah.
Or actually beyond-death experience. So
sure.
I don't know. That's got to change your life. It's got to change the way you look at waking up every day and going out and living your life to know that at one point it could have been the end.
Yeah. I mean, it's something where it's somehow you get to some plane that really opens you up and you just kind of like, oh, I get it. It's like listening to a really good audiobook, but times 100. <You know? laughs> It's just like, oh, I never thought of things like that. Like, oh my God. You know, but I guess it's also kind of like tripping on something too. I've never done that. I've never done anything like psychedelic, like where Steve Jobs would come back and say, oh my God, I had this vision and that. Sounds interesting, but it's nothing I'm really interested in doing. But I mean, what I do legally, what is legal, it just makes me want to eat a lot of fucking Cheetos. And that's, it's not good.
Nothing wrong with that.
Oh my God. It's like, what the heck? Like, relaxing. It's great. It's not some sort of pharmaceutical or something, but it's like, shit, there's Oreos and there's milk in my house and I better lock my doors or put a fucking, you know, handcuff me to the bed. Like, why are you handcuffed to the bed, sir? What happened? Did you like hire someone? And I did this. The key fell. I was just trying to keep myself away from the fucking Oreos and the milk. That's all it was. No more questions. But that really could be me. Cause I had to like set rules. And I'm like, okay, no more snacking after 8 PM or something. Otherwise it's like, next day I wake up going, holy shit, well, dieting today really made no sense now, did it?
Yeah, you know, and I go in those things too where I try to do really well and I do well for a while.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, that bag yeah. of Nacho Bugles looks really yes! freaking good right now. And yeah. I'm going to put them on my fingertips, pretend that they are fingernails, and I'm going to eat them that way.
And here's my biggest downfall, because I use it legally for stress and anxiety, prescribed and all that, and it's been great for me. That is the downfall of it. Is I never knew what that was like until I, you know, in the last handful of years when I started doing that, and I'm like, oh my God, I get what this is. And at night, holy shit, yeah, it's just I'm not good. I'm not good with that. And I'm like, I'm losing weight, and then it's like, oh, okay, let's. And I come up with these genius food ideas. And the thing is, they're not bad. Like the next day, I like explore them. I'm like, oh, that really is genius of a food idea. It's not like some crazy thing. Like, let's put a pickle on top of a bunch of Fritos and then lace it with a bunch of mustard or something. It's like I'm doing these are good combinations. So I guess in some ways it's helped me with cooking and made some really interesting things.
Right.
But at the same point, I'm at the highest point in my life on weight, which I hate. And I am just like, now it's getting warmer. I'm going back. Last year I was running. I was jogging.
Holy crap.
I know. And then it got to be winter and Christmas and all that and everything went out the window. So
that happens to me every year. I don't do the running, but I'm in better shape
yeah.
in the warmer months. And then Christmas and all that come around and I'm like, fuck it. I want the food.
My thing is, I'm actually going to a destination this summer that has a beach, and my girlfriend has a lovely body and can totally pull off the beach thing, and me, not so much. So I'd like to at least look somewhat like I belong with this person. Like, where did she find you? Like, I do a podcast or something, and she likes ghost story. I don't know. She's never listened to the show, but I don't know. I'm like, Cheetos and, oh yes, and some sriracha. Let's do that. So yeah, I'm working at it, and hopefully we'll make some sort of miracle drop in weight in the next couple of months.
Let me know how that goes for you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm down 2 pounds, Todd. It's amazing. Let's go to our next caller. Hi.
This is Rhonda Hughes in San Diego, California. Forgive me if I sound out of breath. I not only am I tired, but I'm also 6 months pregnant with my 5th child, and I just ate, so I'm full on top of being stuffed like Thanksgiving turkey. Anyway, I had originally written this story into you, but I heard that if I call it in, there's a better chance of it getting on sooner. So I decided to do that. So go ahead and disregard any write-in that's from Rhonda Hughes. Okay, so this story is actually my mom's story. This happened before I was born. She actually hadn't even met my dad yet. So my mom had divorced from her first husband, and she had my brother and my sister, and she and my grandmother were living together. And my mom used to be a smoker and had ashtrays everywhere in her house, but they were both very neat and tidy people, so they kept a very clean house. And they both had full-time jobs. So my mom would take my brother, she'd go to work, my grandma would go to work, and when they would come home, my mom would find all of her ashtrays dumped into one, and all of the cupboards and the drawers in the kitchen would be pulled out. On another occasion in that same house, let me see here, my mom had put the kids to bed, and she was awake and in her bedroom. I don't know what she was doing, but she wasn't going to sleep yet. And she heard the sound of a child giggling in the bathroom. And my brother had a flat-bottom tugboat bath toy that she also heard rolling around in the bathtub. And so she walked out of her room and was going to go tell whichever kid it was to go back to bed. But when she passed my brother and sister's bedroom, heading to the bathroom, she saw that both of them were still asleep in their beds. Another occasion in that house, she put the kids to bed again, and she was laying in her bed and trying to go to sleep, but she was still very much awake. And from her bed, you could see down the hall into the living room. And on the far wall, across the living room, facing the hallway, they had a pink pig toy box. I don't know if you remember those big, they had like a football and then the pink pig and I think something else, but they had the pig. And my mom laid there in the bed, and she watched the lid come off of the toy box and a rubber bouncy ball come out of the toy box. So they didn't stay in that house very much longer. They moved out. Creepy, though. Very creepy. My mom is actually a very sensitive lady when it comes to all this stuff, and I'm slightly envious that she has gotten to witness paranormal things. This isn't the first thing or the last thing that she's witnessed. She's actually been at my grandma's house after my grandpa died, cleaning out his den. And when she walked into the hallway, she smelt his aftershave. And so Grandpa was there with her. I've got more stuff to tell you, but I guess I should probably call in at another time to do that, because it's going to go over the allotted time. So, yeah, it'll probably be maybe today or tomorrow, but I'm sure you'll play it on way separate shows. Anyway. Thank you for listening. I love the show. My son loves the show. One of my 3 sons. and I listen to it at work, and I get so frustrated when somebody comes up to me and tries to talk to me because I have to take my earbuds out and pause the show so they can ask, which, God forbid, I actually have to work with people. Anyway, I'll let you go. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That would be very irritating. Were you going to like, what? What do you want?
Yeah.
It's great that she loves the show that much. I also like the way that she started her story about, you know, being full and pregnant with her fifth child. Yes. Wow.
At least she didn't say her name was Duggar. So that's it's a plus.
What a great story. And I read there was a meme someplace that somebody shared like in the last 24 hours about like there's nothing more beautiful than the laughter of a child, except when there's no children in the house and you hear it.
exactly. I mean,
there is something, and we've talked about this on the podcast too. There's something creepier, I think, about a child's energy being left behind than an adult energy, just because they're so young. Did they lose their life early? What's going on with that? And here's a toy box opening up and a bouncy ball coming out. I mean, that's creepy.
It is. I had a creepy moment with Harper tonight. So she was, I don't know if she stayed up late last night or what. She had three snow days in a row last week. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, no school, and then Saturday, Sunday. So like 5 days off. And so she was just kind of like in late night mode, and I think probably not wanting it to end. And I'm not a super stickler. I'm like, you'll learn. If you stay up late and you are dead tired the next day, you're not going to keep doing that. It'll be much more effective you doing that and learning that than me being on your ass about it. So, and she does, and she manages, and she, you know, accepts the consequences. But she got home tonight and she was really sleepy, and she has a little, a big Joe, it's like a beanbag type chair, in the living room. And she just sits down and she's like passed out on it. And I'm making dinner, and I like to talk to her, but she's just out. So I'm letting her sleep. And it gets close to like, okay, it's like half hour before the show. Dinner's almost done. I'm like, I got to get her up so she can eat and I can talk to her for a few minutes. And so I Harper, hey, you know, I look at her, like shake her awake. And honey, you're falling asleep in front of the fireplace. You're on your chair. I just like to tell her where she's at because her eyes are like darting everywhere. Like, what the fuck's going on? Like, I'm afraid she's like going to have like a knife hidden underneath the Big Joe and just like rip it out at any moment. Like, get the fuck away from me, mother. Oh, God, it's Dad. I'm sorry. I slit your throat. What did I do? But that didn't happen. So I like, hey, honey, like just come over and let's, you know, wake up a little bit and let's have dinner and let's talk for a few minutes. And then she comes over to me. She goes, I don't want to play that game. Like, what are you talking about, hon? It's like, I don't want to play Roblox right now. I'm like, okay, honey, you don't have, like, I didn't say anything about playing Roblox. No, you didn't. And she's still kind of like in that zone of like awake and not awake.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, honey. Well, honey, I think you're still kind of sleepy. And that happens sometimes where your mind's kind of going back and forth. It's like, I don't want to play that shooter game either. I'm like, what shooter? What are you talking about? You just came over to me and said, we should play that shooter game on the PlayStation. I'm like, honey, no. I said, I've been cooking dinner like the last like hour, and I came over to you to wake you up and come over and eat. No, you said that. I'm like, honey, no, I didn't. It took like a good 15 minutes of convincing her, because she's like me. Like, once my mind is somewhere, I'm like, fuck you. Like, no one's going to change it. But it was like, honey, and I had to kind of explain to her. And my example was, honey, when I fall asleep, sometimes at night, I always have the TV on, and I usually fall asleep to like Frasier or something. And and I said, here's the crazy thing that happens to me. And this is just weird. Our minds do this. But I'll be listening to the show, and I've watched every episode probably 50 times, so I know them. And I'll be listening, and my eyes will be shut. And then all of a sudden, like, they go off script, and I'll start hearing them like doing this whole show, like my mind's generating, and I'm not hearing anything outside. It's all my mind playing this. And I'll be like, what the hell? That's not part of this episode. And then I'll wake up and I'll sit up. I'm like, what the fuck was that? And like, our minds do that sometimes with audio. So you heard me come over to you and wake you up, and then you were still kind of sleeping, and then whatever your mind was playing was saying, I was saying this to you. That's what that was. But she thought for the longest time I was fucking with her. She's like, Dad, you said that. No, honey, I did not.
Now, here's the question. And being, you know, you seem like a really great dad, which I think is awesome. Do you ever like mess with her enough where she, you know, where you might get her kind of wound up by saying something like that?
It's, will I screw with her? Yes. But I would tell her though. I mean, I will always tell her within like a minute. Like I don't go for long. I'm never like one where I go for like even 10 minutes on anything. Cause I just can't, I laugh. It's a joke. It's quick. And I don't want to screw with her that much, but like, we'll joke about things like we were at the restaurant the other day and we were talking and she couldn't hear me very well cause it was loud. And I would start saying like weird things like, blah, 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 like let's eat some possums later. And she'd be like, what, Dad? I said, let's go make some hot chocolate later. I thought you said let's eat some possums later. I'm like, no, I would never say that. So yes, I do screw with her like that, but honestly, it's not that often. So I think it was just in her head, unless there was something over there emulating me saying things to her.
Well, now here's a question, because you said a while back you were going to smudge your house. You done that?
I did, but it's been like 6 months.
Yeah, you probably want to do that again.
I have more on top of the fridge. It's like it's next to fireworks. Like on top of the fridge, it's like random shit that you hardly ever use. So it's like, oh, there's some leftover fireworks up there from the 4th of July because you don't want the kids to get at the fireworks. And you have like 3 left that you forgot about. So you just kind of put them up there. And then there's the smudge sticks that I didn't want her to get a hold of either. I don't know why, but I don't want her lighting fires and running around the house with sage. And I think that's about it. That's all that's on top of my fridge. But yeah, I should light that up and wander around. And
just make sure it's the sage and not the fireworks. That could be.
Or I could walk around with a bong and we could. And we'll sing some songs.
Say some prayers. Eat some Cheetos.
Eat some Cheetos. Maybe sing some Eagles songs or something. You know, that'd be great.
It's a tequila sunrise.
No, Hotel California.
There you go.
Be great. Yeah, I should probably do that. But I mean, honestly, the energy in our house has been pretty good. I honestly did feel after I did that, like, I don't know, there was kind of a little bit of a change. And I honestly didn't expect it. I was always skeptical about it, even though 1,000 people have said, do this or this works or this doesn't work. More so have said it does work. But I was still kind of like, I don't know. And I think it kind of worked. But it's like a maintenance thing. You should probably like keep doing it, like going to the dentist.
Yeah. Well, it's like cleaning your house. You know, you don't sweep once in 100 years and expect it to be clean. In order to clean energies and kind of clear that all out, you should do it on a semi-regular basis.
Cleanse the demons. Demon away.
Correct. Yes.
By Menon. What was that? By Menon was what that was like a lot of different products, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was like aftershave and razors and all that kind of stuff.
Still around, or was that like some company that was like creating like chemical shit that killed a bunch of people? Like,
I think it's gone. I haven't heard of Menon in a long time.
Bring that back. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person on EPP at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online. I hit the post.
Nailed it.